Raised by powerful women in a restrictive, sheltered Christian community in New England, Ryan Dosti never imagined herself on the front lines of a war halfway around the world. But then a conversation with an Army recruiter in her high school cafeteria changed the course of her life. Hired as a linguist, she quickly learned how to find a space for herself in the testosterone-filled world of the Army barracks, and had been holding her own until the unthinkable happened. She was raped by a fellow soldier. Struggling with PTSD and commanders who didn't trust her story, Dosti found herself fighting through the isolation of trauma amid the challenges of an unexpected war. Dosti tells her story in the new book, Formation, A Woman's Memoir of Stepping Out of Line. It's a pleasure to welcome Ryan Lee Dosti to the roundtable this morning. Ryan, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Give us an idea of the decision that you had to make to tell the story and to write about it.
In the beginning, I didn't think it was going to be a book. I actually didn't really think I had anything worth saying. I was struggling with the idea that there are veterans with far more valuable stories. So when I first started writing it, it was just I was working on it for school, and I didn't think anybody was going to care or that, you know, like I said, like it would be valuable in any way. And as I was in the MFA program and I started getting a positive result from readers, other people in the program, and from other writers, I started to think, well, maybe it could be something. So it all kind of came to me as a surprise as it developed.
And from the time that we are reading the story, which is now, how long ago did the events in this book happen?
Well, I joined in 2000, and the rape happened in December of 2001. Two. And then we deployed in 2003 to 2004. The events of the fourth section of the book that talks about the PTSD, that's
yes.
A lot more, that was stuff that was actually still happening almost right up until the book was finished. I remember when I first wrote the ending and had sent it to my agent, she was like, this ending's a little dark. Like, the readers might not be satisfied. And at that moment, I was still in a really dark place and I couldn't find a good ending. By the time I started working with my editor and everything, I was in a much better place, and so the ending came out a lot better than what it originally was. So especially the fourth section pretty much goes right up into present time.
The book is broken up into four sections: violation, conception, invasion, and desecration. You start off the book with the first words being "a few hours before I am raped." That's the beginning of this story. You certainly put this the event right at the beginning of the book. Was that always your intention to say, okay, this is what happened, and now let's go on this journey from there?
No, it definitely wasn't always my intention. I think I was that section took me a long time to write. And I think I was a little scared to write it and even put it right up there at front. Originally, I think I had it more buried towards the end, sort of as I was thinking as more of like a climax of the book. And I remember I was working with Tim Parrish at my MFA program, and I had written that what is now the opening chapter. And he said that, like, this is a really powerful chapter and it's a really good place to start. And once I looked at it from that, and he asked me why I was trying to bury and hide this, and putting it in the front makes it in the open. It makes the reader know exactly what happened, when it happened, how it happened. And, you know, it just seemed like a much better choice, even if it is a little bit in the reader's face, I suppose.
Yes. But it sets it up. We learn. I mean, it gives us the context, right, that we need to understand. The name of the book is Formation, A Woman's Memoir of Stepping Out of Line. How do you feel that you stepped out of line?
I think from the military's perspective, for a while, I fought really hard to try to get some kind of justice. And I think the stepping out of line is more of they wanted me to just be quiet. And I think that happens to a lot of military sexual trauma victims, where the military, whether a lot, and it happens in a lot of branches, they just kind of want you to shut up. They don't want you to talk about it. They don't want you to push for more justice. When they make a decision, they want the case to be closed. And I was this problem child to the command because I wouldn't listen, at least for a little while. I wanted something to be done, and I wasn't complying with what they thought I should do, which was, as they said, they wanted me to get over it.
Mm.
So, yeah, that was me stepping out of line.
But what is, as you mentioned in the chronology just a moment ago, you are raped and then you are sent to war.
Yes.
Well, and that just seems to be, when you just say that sentence of just how traumatic that could be.
For me, I just wanted to get away from my rapist. I was not in a good mental space at that time, and I was probably a little scared of myself even, and I also was scared of going to war. I never joined thinking we would have a war. I never thought I would go to war, and I also in the book didn't want to present myself as this brave G.I. Jane person. You know, I was scared to go. Also, I was really mentally messed up and traumatized, and so I said to them, I don't think I can do this, and they said, well, you know, the guy is, he was getting out of the military soon, so he was staying in rear deployment, which means he wasn't going to Iraq. And I said, you could stay here with him, or you can go to Iraq. And that really just kind of made an easy decision, you know, just, you know, anything to get away at that point.
But nobody should have to make that kind of decision.
No, certainly not.
And
I can only hope that in some small way, this book or all the women and men who are coming and speaking out about military sexual trauma, you know, maybe we could help prevent this sort of thing from happening again, because it's still happening today, you know, 2019. We're still having issues with military sexual trauma and how it's being reported and treated in the military.
Do you have an understanding as to why it is so prevalent?
I think it's a command problem. It's sort of a, you know, because like I said, when I was at Fort Gordon, I said in the book, if it had happened at Fort Gordon, I feel like it would all have been treated differently. And I don't know if that's still me being naive, but I feel like the command would have taken me more seriously. And I think in areas of the military where the command is very serious and has a no tolerance for this sort of behavior for sexual harassment, assault, or rape, that no-tolerance behavior trickles down because people in the unit and will know that they're not going to get away with anything. But when you have a command that makes light of things or makes jokes about in equal opportunity briefings or the briefings are now called sexual harassment and rape prevention mm-hmm. briefings, if you have they're making jokes and making light of it, then of course, that trickles down the ranks and people will engage in behavior that they are pretty sure that they can get away with. I think the stronger the command, hopefully the less likely that sexual assault will happen.
Again, going back to the chronology, give us a sense of when you started and it was realized that you were experiencing PTSD.
I came home from active duty in 2005. And I joined the National Guard in pretty soon after. And I think I didn't realize I had PTSD until I would say maybe 2006 or even 2007. So I had been home for a little while. And I knew I was getting little things like I was crying a lot faster. I was having a hard time regulating my emotions. But there's a scene in the book where I was at a parade and they were setting these cannons off, and I just had this most severe reaction and a pretty much a breakdown. And that was when I started saying, I might actually have PTSD. And I didn't at that time I was very confused because I didn't think I deserved it. I mean, certainly there are people in Iraq or Afghanistan who go through much more severe circumstances than I did. And I think I wasn't counting, I was discounting the rape as well. It didn't occur to me that that could cause PTSD as well.
And that was my next question. I mean, you write about this, but it's almost impossible to extricate which, if not both, are the cause of it. Is the rape or of going to war both traumatic?
Yes, I definitely think that, especially for my triggers, they're all intertwined and, you know, messed up together. From what I know of PTSD, when you have one trauma, you are very, your brain is sort of going to handle another trauma not as well as somebody who hasn't been traumatized before. So by having the rape happen and then, dealing with it, and then going to war and with whatever those situations were, I was more open to be to get PTSD from war than had the rape not happened. Does that make sense? So you have one trauma, and then you're more open to have severe reactions to a second trauma. So it was all sort of tied together.
It does make sense, but as you indicate in the book, I mean, it takes a long time for you to understand that.
Oh yes, it took me a very long time, and I felt like my PTSD was so weird. It was so different from everything you see in the movies and you read about in books. And I kept wondering, like, am I just crazy? Is this really PTSD? I had a long time, you know, I had to learn that PTSD is very individualized. Everybody has it in their own way, and it manifests in very individual ways. You don't hear about that a lot when you think about PTSD. You think of, especially with combat, you know, you hear a loud noise, you have a smell, and there's a trigger, and you have a normal, like, a high vigilance or a panic reaction, whereas mine was more anxiety, like constant anxiety, obsessive intrusive thoughts about things that didn't have to do with war. And it took me a while to realize those obsessive intrusive thoughts were really actually about the rape and how the command treated it and blamed me for it. And I internalized all that blame, and that's how it ended up coming out, feeling dirty and shamed and contaminated and all those things.
How, for want of a better term, how freeing is it to be able to write about it, to shed that blame in the context of this narrative, and also to give the rapist in some way the designation of the crime that was committed?
As far as freeing, it was very freeing, especially when I first started writing it, because once I put it down on paper, it wasn't something I could hide anymore. It was out in the open. I had put it out there, and you can't backpedal from that, you know. And that was freeing, because I had to push myself to be in a place where I couldn't hide it anymore. And it also helped me to be able to say the word rape, which was very hard for me in the beginning, and for many years. And it's also freeing, I hope, in that I'm able to talk about it more freely, and I hope that that will help others talk about it more freely and to learn that rape is not a four-letter word. It's not a shameful word. We shouldn't be hiding from these conversations. As far as anything with holding the rapist accountable in any way, I don't know where he is, what he's doing. And in my mind, I don't imagine he's ever going to read the book. And I don't know if that's a little bit of a self-defense mechanism or I guess I just don't. I haven't thought about that, to be honest.
No, and I guess, and I don't even mean him specifically, but the idea that a rapist has been identified in a way that in this story that you are telling us, your story, that there is that identification that you are able to say, this person is a rapist.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I was doing a reading for some high school students at the old school I used to teach at. You know, it's a little graphic content for high school students, but, you know, I tried to cater to them, and they actually really responded well to it and to the, I guess, realness of it. And one student asked me, did you ever get justice? And my first and almost gut response was, and I said, no. And then I thought about it for a second, and I said, well, I guess this is my justice. This book is my justice. So maybe holding him, a rapist, accountable and saying this is rape. It's not a gray area. It's not, oh, I misread the signals or anything that some rapists tell themselves. Like, no, it was obviously rape, and what you did was really wrong.
Right.
And this is how it messed me up, and this is how it messes other rape victims up. And this is why rape is so bad, because it could stick with the victim for decades, and there is no getting over it. Not entirely.
The name of the book is Formation, A Woman's Memoir of Stepping Out of Line. It is published by Grand Central. Ryan Lee Dosti, I thank you very much for sharing with us this morning. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me and giving me a chance to talk about the book.
Great pleasure. Thank you very much. Again, the name of the book is Formation. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.